All right, theme verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You can never read this one enough. Where, and he tells you where to seek, where you have access, where your streamline, where your compass is, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God, because you sit there too. Amen? Set your affections on things that are above, not on the earth. Now, here's the part I'm going to get into. Verse 3, you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. Okay? There's none of you that are dead in here. Right? See, when Paul writes that in Colossians, he naturally assumes that you already understand Romans. Paul assumed a lot when he wrote. He assumed that we actually had understanding of what he's saying. All right? So I want you to go over to Romans 5. I want to take you through Romans 5. In Romans 6 tonight. And you should understand these chapters by the time we get through here. All right? Remember, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So let's begin in Romans chapter 5, and I'll begin in verse 12. And we're going to take that all the way up into about Romans 6, verse 12. Well, you'll understand some of these verses here. It says, wherefore, as by one man, which is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all had sinned. Adam had within his loins the law of Genesis. When he fell, sin entered into the human race because he had the human race within him. God told him to be fruitful and multiply. That sin automatically passed down upon every living thing. Everyone that was born, they were born with a nature. However, God holds that nature in innocence. And in fact, if someone dies prematurely as an infant, they'll go immediately to heaven because they're in a state of innocence. And I was watching one day. This is when my kids were much younger. They don't do this now. We were in the backyard, and Carson and Victoria were both running around their birthday suit in the backyard and didn't know it. You know, they know it now. They didn't know it then. And the Spirit of the Lord says, what time do you think the age of innocence? He says, the day they know that they're naked and they want to start covering themselves, that's when their innocence shifts. And he goes, as long as they're like that, they don't even have a clue. Just run around the house. Who told you you were naked? That's what God asked Adam. His innocence was lost. But you're still born with a nature. And that nature passed upon all men. All right? So basically, he's going to start repeating things here. I really want to get in 6, but I'm going to just take you through here. Verse 13, for until the law came, the law of Moses, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. You'll see that word in Romans, imputed, imputation. It says, sin is not imputed when there is no law, but it's still there. So what does that word imputed mean? I'll get into that in a minute. Nevertheless, see, he said, even though sin was not imputed. Before Moses came along, there was no law that caused what was called the process of imputation. Nevertheless, sin was still there. It was still, everyone was inheriting it, whether there was a law or not. And that's what he's saying here in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death was still reigning. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. In other words, even though they may have been born and been nice, Mary Poppin kind of person. They didn't directly disobey a commandment from God. They're still inherited that fallen nature. But the law, something happens. I'll get in this in a minute. What happens, this imputation process, the law did something kind of interesting when it came along. Let's look at verse 15. But not as the offense, which was under Adam, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. In other words, through Adam, many fell. Through Adam, everyone inherited a fallen nature. Just because you were born, you got it. Amen? Also, watch this, much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus, hath abounded unto many. In the same one, by one man, death passed upon all men. By one man, life can now pass upon all. It only took one. One to destroy the world, one to restore the world. First Adam destroyed, last Adam restored. And he's going to repeat that over and over. He's going to say it again and again. I guess he wanted us to get it. Amen. And not as it was by one that sinned, verse 16, so is the gift. For if judgment was by one to condemnation, Adam, the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, Jesus. For if one man's offense, death reigned by one, Adam. Death was reigning just because you were born. It was reigning over your life because you were born with a reservoir. Now, it's this reservoir that he's going to start talking about in Romans chapter 6. You were born with a reservoir. It was in your nature. It was embedded into you. Law of sin and death was embedded spirit, soul, and body. For if by one man's offense, verse 17, death reigned, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. You're not actually talking about reigning in life here. You're reigning through the life that's in you. You're reigning in that life now because he removed the reservoir and put the life in you. Amen? You're going to understand a really cool mystery here in a minute. And so he keeps saying the same thing. Verse 18, this is about the fourth time he repeats it now. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He's just going back and forth, ping pong, Adam, Christ, Adam, Christ, Adam, Christ. All right. Verse 19, for as one man disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, which was Christ, shall many be made righteous. If one man could bring the death, another one God could raise up to bring life. Adam Christ, Adam Christ. All right? Moreover, now, you can circle this verse here, verse 20. And you can also circle verse 13. Now he's going to explain this imputation. Let me read verse 13 again and I'll get into verse 20. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. In particular, he's dealing with your nature. Sin was there, inherited. Until the law, sin was there. But when sin is not imputed, where there's no law. So let's talk about the imputation for a minute. Verse 20, he's going to describe this. Actually, chapter 7 describes the whole thing of imputation. Chapter 7 is all about the imputation of sin. Verse 20, moreover, look at this. The law entered that the offense might abound. Gee, that's good news. God gives the law so the offense will abound. Mm-hmm. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Does that mean that I need to go to the local nightclub where sin is abounding? And grace will much more abound? Well, you know, where sin's abounding of a nation, grace will much more. If sin keeps abounding, it'll destroy the nation. Because that's not what it's talking about. It was talking about the imputation of sin through the law, because the law set it in motion. It's kind of like this. You had a dormant nature. You could be a piranha, but you don't know it. Amen. You could be a wolf, but you didn't know it. You might be a nice wolf. You ever seen those tigers they raise, you know, in those Las Vegas shows? And every once in a while, that tiger just decides he wants to take one of their arms off. But they knew him from a cub, but it's his nature. He goes, look, you're meat. I see meat. I eat meat. That's what I do. It's my nature. You raised me as a cub. I like you. That's the way our soul is, see? Our soul kind of likes things. But in nature, if you're a tiger, that guy may have raised you, but you can't control nature. It rises up. You put piranha in a bowl with goldfish, and they are going to eat the goldfish. They may be friends. You could put them in there from the day they're born, but one day that piranha is going to step into his nature. It says, I eat people like you. It's nature. Okay? So you have this nature and this piranha, but he doesn't really know he's a piranha because he's swimming around his own tank all his life. Until you give the law, comes and says, thou shalt not. And as soon as you say, thou shalt not, and his holy commandment says, thou shalt not, and guess what? Your nature goes, what? What? Thou shalt not covet. Okay, I'm now going to put on my Mary Poppins goody two shoes anointing. And just about as soon as you try to obey it, you'll find something else there. What happened? That law just set that nature into motion. Because you try to do it now and you find you cannot. The law was there to expose the nature. Amen? So where the offense abounded, why did he do that? It was going to school them. He put the law there as a schoolmaster to teach them, hey, you need me. You're bound by a nature that you cannot overcome. And to prove it, I'm going to give you a law. I'm going to give you a commandment to keep it. And the second you try to keep it, you'll find you cannot. And it's going to set that nature, that dormant nature, into motion. And when it does, you're going to have to see that you're bound by something. Now, I'm going to send one to come that's going to take that away. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed, okay? But it set it in motion. Now, what? Because we're going to get into chapter 6 here. I just thought we'd have fun tonight with chapter 7. Moreover, the law, verse 20, entered that the offense might abound. Why? God wanted the offense to abound. He wanted them to see their fallen nature. So they would embrace the promise of one to come. Back in those days, they couldn't get out of it. They were trapped in it. A whole lifetime they couldn't get out of it. But not like you and I. Verse 21, that is sin. Moreover, the law entered, the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, now get this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The key to breaking that verse is to underline where. Where? Where sin abounded? Now he's about to get in to Romans 6 here. They were building. Say where? Where was sin abounding? In your nature. How was it abounding? It was set into motion by a law that said thou shalt not. And the more you tried to keep it, the more you find you could not and you were trapped. In a system, he says, don't you know the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? And that law would keep them in a state, it would school them. The fact is, you cannot inherit the kingdom as long as that nature lives in you. Embrace the promise of one that is a come, and it's enough to get you saved. So where that sin was abounding in their nature, I was listening to this guy, and he's called to teach on grace. I was listening to him on TV. He did his whole things about grace, his whole ministry. I was listening to him. I said, God, you called that guy to teach on grace? And he is in left field. He said, listen, where sin is abounding in your life, don't worry about it. It can keep abounding. Because grace will abound that much more. I said, no. He doesn't have the understanding, and he's called to teach on grace. I said, Lord, we're in trouble. And they're all getting wrapping around him, you know. He's the teacher of grace. I'm not going to say his name. God bless him. I said, Lord, You raise these people up with a message and they don't know what they're saying. He says, where sin was abounding, in that part of your nature, sin was abounding through that reservoir. Guess what? When he shifts it to grace and you're born again, he takes the fallen one out. Guess what? In the same place that sin was abounding, grace will now abound in the same place now. Grace and the kingdom of grace and righteousness will abound out of that nature now. In the same way that sin was abounding out of a fallen nature, grace will abound out of a new one. Isn't that good? That does no license for sin. Where sin's abounding, grace will that much more abound. Don't worry about it. If you're sinning, grace will abound. No! It was two different covenants. Where sin was abounding in a fallen nature, when he shifts it, he's shifting in the same place because he changed the nature. Where that piranha was abounding, the goldfish will now abound. The kingdom of grace, the kindness, the righteousness of God will abound out of the new man. As sin was abounding, grace will that much more abound. Everyone say, grace is abounding in me. I have a reservoir that's born of the kingdom of grace, and it's abounding through my nature. I am forever perfected. And the perfection of the kingdom is abounding through my nature, see. One man, one Hitler, can bring so much destruction through a fallen nature. What can God do through one that's raised into life? You see how the Word of God, you got to get it rightly divided? It makes a little bit more sense. Otherwise, you're out there excusing the sin. Well, how come I sin? Well, you're still wearing a body. Amen? And you have a soul that's unregenerated. But your new man, grace is abounding. That's why he says, put on the new man. Put him on. Now, let's get into Romans 6. That was my introduction. Let's go back to 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law set it in motion. But where sin was being set in motion, the same place within you, now grace is setting in motion righteousness. It sets in motion the kingdom within you. See, it sets in motion that new nature. See, grace is setting that in motion now. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, like a Hitler, the reservoir of sin, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. If a Hitler can bring that destruction, you have the same capacity to bring life to the whole world. It's the measure of how far you run with what God's given you. Amen? Now, let's look at chapter 6. This is the Colossians. You're dead, remember? You're dead. Chapter 6. What shall we say then? I guess that guy probably should have read this verse. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heck, if grace is abounding where my sin's abounding, let's close on church and go down to the local nightclub. Do a little boogie, you know. If grace gonna abound, let's just let sin abound. Paul kind of deals with that thought system. He said, look, he said, shall we continue in sin? He goes, God forbid. How shall we that are dead, remember Colossians, you are dead, say dead, to sin live any longer therein? This is a universal question. Nobody knows what to do with verses like that. If we're dead to sin, how come we still have sin, number one? But Paul said, if you're dead to sin, what's he say? How can you live any longer therein? See, this is where condemnation comes and heaps on you. Because you're supposed to be where sin shall have no dominion over you. He'll say it in a minute. How come we still sin? It'll help you to understand chapter 6 is dealing strictly with a new man and the old man. Chapter 6, up until verse 12, the first 11 verses in chapter 6 is strictly dealing with your spirit man. Old man, new man. He's not dealing with your body, okay? If you understand that going into chapter 6, it'll help you to understand he's dealing strictly with the same part of you where sin abounded, your spirit man, where sin was abounding in your spirit man, which he called the old man. that grace did abound. See, he's still dealing with that man. Death passed upon all men. How did death pass? It passed in your spirit. See, chapter 5 and 6 is really dealing with your spirit man, the eternal part of you. Paul's strictly talking about him. So in light of that, let's read what he's saying here. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? I love to teach like this. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For a minute, just act like you don't have a body. He'll deal with your actual natural body. He's strictly talking about your spirit man now. All right. Now look at verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Who's he talking about? Your body didn't undergo any kind of baptism. You baptized in water, but the baptism in the new nature, in the old man and the new nature, did your body change when you were born again? Did your soul change? Your spirit man. Who's he talking to? Your spirit man. Know you not, so many of you were baptized into his death. You are dead. What does that mean? Look, he didn't go to hell for his benefit. Why did he go there? He went there to bury something there. It was a necessity. He died here and went there because once he became the offering, once he became the sacrifice, once he identified and the Father laid the sin of the world upon him, when he went into hell, he was going there for you because he was going to bury a part of you that needed to be buried and it would not be raised again. Buried with him. What part of you was buried? The one he just got through talking about in chapter 5 that was reigning to death. The one you had inherited from Adam. That nature, he buried that old man, buried it. You are dead. What does that mean? That old man is dead. Say dead. He is dead. He was buried. And that's what he's going to get into. This part we want to get into in the light of the right hand of God here. Verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, how that happened? When you received him into your life, something amazing happened. Because when you were born again, he literally took your old man and buried him into the grave, into hell, and gave you a new one. It all happened the day he did it, actually. 2,000 years, you come along, see, it's the law that's working now. It's the law of the spirit of life. It's in the earth. And as soon as you connect into the law, old man's buried, you're raised into life. All right? What's it say? You are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ. Okay, look at this. Verse 4. You are buried with him by baptism in the death. Who? Not your body. Your body still got death working in it. That's why you can sin when the Bible tells you you can't sin. Because there's a part of you that's incapable of sinning. But there's another part of you that's highly capable of sinning. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Old man. Old spiritual man. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead, when God raised him up by the glory of the Father, even so we also, look at this, walk in newness of life. Newness of life, you can write in your Bible, not of this world. That's tree of life. That's life that's not of this world. That's right hand of the Father life. It's in there. Newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. See again, old man buried, planted. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Don't miss the resurrection. Being crucified with Christ. My old man was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ living in it. Don't miss the resurrection. Don't just go to the cross and die. We can't miss the resurrection, folks. We were buried in the likeness of his death. But we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That means he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. You step into resurrection. Where is resurrection? He was raised somewhere. Where was he raised? Very clear. He was raised, sat down, and forever sat down at the right hand of God. He was raised there. Guess what? Believe it or not, the second you were born again, you were set at the right hand of God. It takes us a little while to figure out where we are. God finishes something. He says, you know, you're really seated with me. But I got to teach you how to come up here. I have to teach you. See, that's why he said of the Holy Spirit, he shall receive of mine. He'll receive everything I've done for you, and he'll show it to you. He's going to teach you this. This is the journey we've been on thus far. A lot of times we want God to do certain things. We want him to explode upon a city, and he's trying to teach us where all that explodes. It's taking him all this time to get us there. One thing's for sure, he's not been in a hurry. We have been in a hurry. We've gotten a lot of trouble for being in a hurry. We wanted him to do a whole lot of things, but he is so anticipating the revealing of the right hand that sometime God will purposely hold you back so you can learn something about him, because you're off running around all the time. You got a lot of activity, but you're still going to get leveled somewhere. I don't know if you know this or not, but everyone's got a level. Everyone's got a ceiling. Church in America has a very disappointing ceiling. That ceiling doesn't reach through into the miraculous. Not in any big way, it doesn't. Any city you know of is in a raging revival with creative miracles right now, with demonstration that gets the world's attention. Any city in America that you know of. I'm not talking about this little outpouring. I'm talking about revival that's taken over the city, and it's got nothing. Do you know of that? So in other words, the whole church is operating in a ceiling. So here we go. We jump into what is. We jump in. We jump in and we run. And we run, and we run, and we run. Feels good to run. And we run for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. We're still ceiling, but we're running. We're sprinters. Every once in a while, God will say, I'd like you to stop running for a while. And stop running means I'm going to have to get you to sit. That's why he told the men before he started doing his greatest miracles, to multiply the bread. He said, have the men sit down. He didn't ask the women to sit down. He said, have the men sit down. Men are doers. The women are doers too, but men especially. They had to sit us down. Sit us down. Sometimes in the sitting process is a training process that he corrals certain things. He said, it's not a time to go yet. I want you to go somewhere else. Instead of going horizontal, let's go vertical. I want to teach you some vertical stuff. And he's been teaching us. We've been climbing, 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 and we hit some gold. Then we hit the mother lode, the right hand of God. Amen? So we got to identify with the burial. If that old man is dead, he is dead. But that new one, he's supposed to live somewhere. He's not supposed to camp here. He's not supposed to be trained here, because he belongs to another kingdom. He's contained in a body here, but it doesn't contain him to this system. He's a new man that needs to be trained in kingdom physics, not earthly physics. And the problem is, you train him, subject him too long to earthly physics, he'll start looking like an earthly creature. And Jesus said, you're not of this world. I need to train you in another world. Sometimes that's why we have to sit. Sometimes everybody says, well, how come we're just not going to the nation? Because it may not be time to go to the nations yet. Maybe he wants us to train us in another order so we can bring a level of demonstration that will actually get the world's attention. You see? And that's what he's been doing. That's where we've been all this time. Is it fun? No, it's a journey. But we're walking by faith. And we're about to see the explosiveness of God. We're about to see levels of demonstration that are going to blow the doors out. God is orchestrating things and amazing things. Don't look with the natural eye. God's doing something that's far beyond the natural eye. You got to look at what he's doing in the realm of the spirit. Amen? Listen, there were 120 sitting in an upper room. The first outpouring, 3,000 people were born again. The second one, 5,000. Two sermons, 8,000 people born again within a matter of a week. Within a matter of a month, I don't know how long it was, but the Jerusalem was overtaken with revival. They were bringing them cities, beds and couches, laying them on the middle of the streets of Jerusalem. Just God shook the whole city up. They threw them in jail, and the angel of the Lord would come in and release them and go speak the words of this life out in the middle of the city. You couldn't contain it once it broke out. It started with 11, and 120 went into an upper room. And they waited, see. But they had something in them. They were sitting there waiting. And then that suddenly of God came. When the suddenly of God comes, it'll do more in 1 week than we do in 20 years. It'll bring testimony to the city in a matter of months that all the churches combined for 20 years. It'll break through veils. And within people, they're so hardened and veiled because of the level of demonstration and the miraculous. When Peter came in and raised Tabitha from the dead, the whole city turned to the Lord. Simon the sorcerer was intimidating all the people of Samaria. When Philip came in there with a glory, he bowed to the anointing that was on Philip. When that level of demonstration comes, nobody will stand and resist it. When Paul got commissioned, and the Holy Spirit put him in front of the deputy, Sergius Paulus. But Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, was sitting. See, there's a lot of sorcerers sitting in the places God's people are supposed to be sitting. He was the one counseling. And that devil started confronting Paul. Wrong time to confront. Demonstration. Blindness cast over that man. Deputy Paulus was converted right there on the spot. That level will pierce veils that the church and all its ineffectiveness won't pierce that stuff. A word-only gospel will not pierce that. And you know, just going down to the altar every night and crying out for revival is not going to bring that. Do you understand that? You do need to cry out, but you got to go on the journey. You can't just go and shed the tears and think that the thing's going to fall out on the nation. You got to be prepared to carry the glory. You got to know where it dispenses from. We have to sit where it comes from. All this has been part of the journey of coming into the right hand. I'm so thankful. I have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. The mysteries of this incredible, incredible book are unfolding. Amen. Verse 5, for we've been planted together in his likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. My new man has experienced resurrection. God raised him and sat him at his own right hand. Jesus shared his position. His glory is not a cloud, but there are clouds in his glory. You know, he says, my glory I give unto you. What does that mean to you? I mean, his glory. There's a cloud. He gives it to me. Really? So you got a cloud? That was the fullness of your inheritance? You got a cloud? His glory was his position. He was raised into glory. It was his position the Father gave him to sit at his own right hand, the highest place in the known spiritual universe and natural universe, the right hand of God. The glory of the whole thing was he shares it with us as joint heirs. He was not ashamed to call you a brother in that place. He says, come up here. You are my brother here. In his deity, he's still deity. You're not equal there. But in the right hand of God, guess what? You are brother. And he shares it with you as joint heir.
I freely give you as the firstborn. I freely share what I have with you. Wow. We are partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're a partaker there, see. I have participated in resurrection. My new man has been raised in resurrection.
Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man,
this was your spirit man, the one you inherited from Adam in chapter 5. Not talking about your body. He's going to introduce your body in verse 12. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, the embodiment, the reservoir, the one that was the source of it, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve it. You're not serving it from nature anymore. Do you understand? There's nothing coming out of your nature that's demanding you to serve it. He broke it. Instead, there's grace reigning from that. Verse 7, for he that is dead, you are dead, your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. He that is dead is freed from sin. I'm free. I got this other part of me. But that new man is freed. The reservoir is freed. You got to get a connection with him. He's freed. If we be dead with Christ, old man, we believe we also live with him. Notice how you live with him? We believe. Faith. You're going to live with him. You're going to have to exercise faith. You're going to launch into faith. We believe we live with him. What did he say? I pray you be with me where I am. We believe we live with him where he is. Say with him where he is at the right hand of God. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus our Lord. Okay? Now, everything he just said up at that point was dealing with your spirit man. Now he's going to introduce your body. The one that gives you the trouble. The one that can and will sin. We just saw another one. The pastor in Atlanta. Big mega church. We just saw another one. That stuff wasn't coming out of his new man. But that old man, Paul said it. He said, I keep my body under. It has capacities that are dangerous. We're very unique people because one part of us is freed and has the rights, the access, the authority, and the ability to dwell and live with the Father in heavenly places. Total access. The other part of us cannot get off ground zero. The other part of us, not only that, it has the capacity to bring forth sin big time. If it is left untouched, it can override the capacity of our new man, see. It can override that capacity. That's the nature of it. Why does God do that? He has to give you authority to operate here. To operate here, you have to wear that body, whether you like it or not. If you want deliverance from your body, you might as well go home. This body is what gives us the authority to function here. The new man gives us the authority to function there. It's quite a dynamic locked up in one vessel. Amen? It's quite a dynamic. All right?
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. See, now he gets in the mortal body. Don't let it reign because it still has the capacity. He's saying you are responsible not to let it reign in your mortal body. That you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield yourself as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, your members, eyes, ears, the parts of you that feed, you can't yield those members into sin. You yield them. See, it's part of your yielding. It's what you're yielding to. It's what we yield to the new man or we yield to the old. See, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. Sin has no dominion over your new man anymore. It's been freed. Amen. Everyone say, sin shall have no dominion over me. No dominion over me. He repeats himself. Same question he asked in verse 1. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? But under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? He goes, know you not, whatever you're obeying, if you yield yourself to your mortal body, you'll sin. If you yield yourself to your new man, you'll live in righteousness. It's whatever part of you you're yielding to, see. That's what he's saying. You're not under the dispensation of the law that it's working through an old man with the law. You're not under that. You're under grace now. You are born again. You are seated with heavenly places. You have a right to access the Father in all of his glory, but you're also wearing a body. And whichever one you're yielding to, whether the new man or the body, it's the one that's going to bring forth the fruit, see. To a Christian that has continual sin, it's only because they're continually yielding to the body. Now, some of those people don't know who they are, okay? But once they know who they are, it's all a matter of their walk. They are yielding. You keep yielding to it, it'll get a hold, see? Amen? Because you've got to yield to the new man. It's a responsibility we have. Amen? Verse 17, but God be thanked. You were servants of sin. You were servants to a fallen nature. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine was delivered you. Being then made freed from sin, you become servants of righteousness. You're serving the new man now. You're serving the kingdom of God within you. Being then made freed from sin, verse 18, you've become servants of righteousness. I speak after the matter of men. See, he's been dealing with your spirit man, but now he's got to deal with the infirmity of your flesh. See, Paul's dealing with both your spirit man in the first half, and the latter half he's dealing with the infirmity of your body because he knows your body's going to give you trouble. He knows as you can teach all day long about the right hands of God swimming in the glory, but you still got a body. And that body give you trouble. Lots and lots of trouble. Verse 19, I'm closing. I speak after the matter of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. But as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. You know what iniquity unto iniquity is? Iniquity in your spirit unto the iniquity of your flesh. Your spirit was feeding your body iniquity unto iniquity. You see that? Because you had it in your reservoir. Old man. Before born again. Now watch this. As you yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even now, yield yourselves members to righteousness unto holiness. Righteousness that's within the new man. Put on the new man. Put on the holiness. See? The holiness works its way out then. The righteousness works its way out of the new man. You start clothing the old man into holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. What's that mean? You were freed. You didn't have anything in your reservoir. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things, death. But now being made freed from sin, you become the servants of God. You have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting of life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of that fallen man was death, but the gift is eternal life. Amen. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. How many of you understand Romans 5 and 6 now? Did that clear up anything for you? Did you already know all that? Hallelujah forever. Colossians 2, 10. You're good students of the word. Boy, you know these things. The Holy Spirit can build your foundation aright, see? And if you take a spill, ask forgiveness. He washes your flesh. He washes it with pure water. He knows it's sin. You give it way to it every day, every day, every day, and think, well, I'm under dispensation of grace. Listen, the grace is in your new man. And has a right to override the old. Amen. Verse 10. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. It's all in your new man, see. He circumcised your old man, your old spiritual man. He circumcised it. And putting off the body of sin of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. Do you understand what that means now? Putting off the body of sin. Remember what he said in Romans? Sin shall have no dominion over you. He buried that old man. See, he put off the body of sin, that old man, and he buried it. That's what happened in the circumcision of Christ. He circumcised your spirit man. He took the old out, put the new in. Okay? That's what he's saying there. Putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And he repeats this. Buried with him in baptism. We got into this Romans 6. Wherein you're also raised with him. Everyone say raised. With the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. All you got to do is tap into that resurrection because you're already, it's already happened to you. It's kind of like we're going in reverse here. Janice asked me a real good question last week. She goes, look, if we're already raised with him and seated with him, how come we got to go there? Aren't we already there? You are there, positionally. But your faith has to catch up. God did it all in reverse. He finished everything. Took your old man, buried him, raised your new man. 20 years later, God said, I'm up here. I'm up here. You're actually up here. You're up here. He requires us to catch up with what he did. Listen, he's working way in front of us and we don't even know it. It's taking us 20 years to catch up with what he did the day we called upon him. Our faith has to actually grow up into it because he requires you to believe what he did. You're already positionally there, but you've got to grow in faith, has to access the position. Amen. See, you access the position by faith, and once you do, the glory of the kingdom starts, fullness starts happening, see? Isn't that awesome? Buried with him in baptism, raised with him through the faith of the operation of God. When he raised him from the dead, he raised me from the dead. Everyone say, I am raised! All the way into the right hand! One day it'll dawn on you. You'll go along, I've heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it. And all of a sudden you'll be listening and say, oh my God, I have been seated with him. Something will happen and just, when that happens, boom, bam, 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 boom, boom. And all of a sudden you shoot up in there and you start drinking of the river of his pleasures. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. He upholdeth us by his right hand. His salvation cometh from his right hands. Dominion was restored when Jesus sat down at the right hand. See? Dominion's executed in the right hand.
All of that comes from that place. Buried with him, raised with him, and the operation of God. Now, okay, now, here it's like this. You're reading along, you read it 100 times. And you like go to a verse like this. Go to Colossians, now you're there, go to chapter 3, verse 23. Here's how faith works. You'll read along, you've read it. How many of you read the book of Colossians at least 5 times in your lifetime? Raise your hand. Okay. How about 50? How many times you read through? You know, I read just because I'm supposed to read. And all of a sudden you read, and all of a sudden something like this comes and jumps smooth out at you. Never saw this. I've read the book of Colossians 150 times at least. It never saw this. Verse 23. Colossians 3. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not of the men. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You shall receive the reward. What did he say? I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. We got into the diligence. When you're in the right hand, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Which inheritance is that? The one he gave you. And all that entails. Everything. Christ is in you, to you, and through you. I shall supply all of your need according to my riches in glory. You can even say it according to my riches in the right hand, because that's where glory is. According to my riches, I supply all your needs from that place. By Christ Jesus. Amazing, we probably get more of our need supply as we learn to connect to that place more. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance. So I want to pray a prayer concerning the Father, our rewarder. All right? So I want you to bow your heads for a minute. Father, oh, thank you, Father. We're no longer just close. We're in there, Father. Father, we thank you that we're in Christ. We're in the right hand. We are inheritors, Father. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Father, I thank you. You reward us with the inheritance. This night we receive of the inheritance of the right hand, the inheritance of all the spiritual blessing in the right hand. We receive it from you. We receive your reward, for you're a rewarder, Father, of those that diligently seek you. You reward us openly. And so, Father, we come to receive the rewards of the inheritance. Partakers of the inheritance, we come to partake, we come to receive, Father, and we receive tonight. And we thank you tonight, Father. We thank you that we're sons, we thank you we're daughters, we're citizens, and joint heirs of the right hand, and we receive the reward. We receive the reward of the inheritance. And Father, even according to our needs, our wants, our desires, you supply all of them according to your riches in glory, in the right hand. Father, we receive of you from that place. We receive the kingdom. We receive the goodness. We receive the mercy. We receive you daily loadeth us with the benefits. We receive the benefits. We receive the benefits. Well, the Spirit of the Lord has spoke to me. He said the whole world's fighting about benefits right now. Healthcare benefits. A whole nation's fighting over them. And he goes, son, I gave you health care. Because I gave you health care. If they spend much time finding out about his health care system as they are fighting about that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. O my soul, forget none of his benefits. You forgiveth all our iniquities of this man of the flesh. You forgive all its iniquities. You wash him, Father. You healeth all our diseases. You redeemeth our life from destruction. And you're crowning us. Crown us with goodness, mercy, glory, and honor, Father. Crown us. Crown us with glory. Crown us with the honor. Crown us. Reward us with the inheritance. Let it flow. Let it release. Let it be seen of men. Father, let the demonstrations of the right hand begin. Let the demonstrations, Father. For you confirmeth the words of your servants, Father. You confirm this word. Father, we thank you. You confirm it with signs, wonders, miracles, demonstrations, witness, testimony. You confirm it with the glory of the right hand. You confirm it, Father. Father, do special, special blessing, Father. Special, special blessing. Father, the inheritance, let it release. Let special blessing release. Let it release. Let it release from the right hand. Let it release, Father. Let it release upon our partners, Father. Let it release on our businesses. Let it release on the ministries. Let it release upon our homes, our families, our finances, our bodies, our health, our emotions. Let it release upon this city. Let it release. Let it flow. You reward us with the inheritance tangible. You reward us tangibly. You reward us, Father, tangibly. You fill the glory. Thy kingdom come. You fill it. You touch. You make us whole. You bless mammon under our feet. Under our feet. Under our feet. We are seated in the right hand. Those that are seated in the right hand. Our Father places our enemies under our feet. All things being placed in subjection. All our enemies placed in subjection under our feet, under our feet. Depression, heaviness, command you to go. Release. Sickness and infirmity, be loosed. Debt, poverty, lack, need, and destruction. Under our feet, under our feet. The God of peace places you under our feet, under our feet. You upholdeth us, Father, in thy right hand. You give us angels charge over our life, charged over our family and all of our ways, charged over our finances, charged over our businesses, charge. You give your angels charge tonight. Release the hosts, the heavenly hosts. Release the warring angels, Father. Release on the behalf of those that sit with you. Let your angels be given charge. Charge to keep us. Charge over us. Let the inheritance of the Mount Hebron inheritance come forth into our generations. I call it into our generations tonight. out of the right hand. Let that inheritance release. Let the Capernaum inheritance release upon this city. Let those inheritance release. Let the generational and the corporate inheritance of Mount Hebron release. Let the Capernaum inheritance release. Let the glories, Father, of the right hand clothe this city, clothe this nation to demonstrate, Father. Let it release, fill, fullness, fullness. Let your fullness come. Fullness filling every part. Fullness, oil and honey from the high places, flowing, flowing, flowing. Increase of the fields from the high places, flowing, flowing, increase, flowing. We receive the reward of the inheritance. You're our rewarder, Father, and we receive the reward of the inheritance.